Welcome to the Next Level Income Show, where it's our goal to raise your income, your investments, and your life to the next level. I'm your host, Chris Larson. You can get a free copy of my book at nextlevelincome.com. Just click on the book link. Also, if you're an accredited investor, check out our invest link to learn how to gain access to our new self-storage fund, as well as other institutional quality opportunities. On today's show, we have Reed Goossens. You're not going to want to miss this. He's going to tell you how to get copies of his two books that he's written. He's going to tell his story about coming all the way from Australia, having $40,000 cash, traveling on a Greyhound bus to source his first deal, and now how he manages over 3,000 units in the multifamily space. Stay tuned. On today's show, we have Reed Goossens. In 2012, Reed quit his job in Australia and moved halfway across the globe to the US to change his life and to chase a dream. With limited funds, no investing experience, and no credit, Reed went from purchasing a small duplex to growing his own real estate investing firm, Wildhorn Capital. Reed now syndicates large multifamily dollar deals across the US. He has also achieved financial freedom and has taken control of his life. He's also a podcast host and a best-selling author of two books, one with one of my partners, Bryce Robertson, called 10,000 Miles to the American Dream. Today's show is sponsored by Money Insights and their Investment Optimizer strategy. In my book, I share how I use the same strategy starting over a decade ago to invest my money in two places at one time. This strategy has been used by the wealthiest for generations for estate planning, minimizing taxes, preserving wealth, and increasing stability for their investments. Now you can do the same thing. In addition, you can build a plan to build an emergency fund, pay for college, fund a business, plan for retirement, and ultimately optimize your total financial picture. To find out more information, check us out at the banking link at nextlevelincome.com. Reed, welcome to the show.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me, mate.
Absolutely. So we were talking, we were catching up. We met for the first time like 2 years ago, and I can't believe it's like, yeah, it's like flown by here in Asheville, North Carolina. I know all about your story, read your book. I even partnered with one of your co-authors on one of your books. But for those of you that haven't gotten to know you like I have, please share a little bit more your history, where you're living now, what you're up to.
Mate, I am just a Aussie battler out here trying to make a dream of it. No, I originally from Australia. The story goes, I moved here in 2012. Love of New York City, love of a girl who now is my wife. So all fairy tale account. But it was bitten by the real estate bug prior to moving to the United States. I really moved here to be an expat, just to live in New York City for a couple of years. And I was going to move home, but quickly realized when I moved here that the barriers to entry are a lot lower. There's a lot more cash flowing opportunities here in the United States compared to where I was from in Australia. And I sort of took that with two hands and ran with it. I bought a property with $38,000 all cash when I first moved to the US. They had no credit. I didn't understand what credit was. And then through that, I now live in Los Angeles. I've been living in Los Angeles for many, many years now. And I'm the co-founder of Wildhorn Capital. And I also co-founder Ascend Property Group. And we control about $450 million assets under management today. I'm a lead sponsor. I do everything on the operation. I do everything from acquisitions to dispositions to building our systems. Overseeing general contracting, asset management, all that sort of stuff falls on my shoulders. I will say that my background's in structural engineering. So I have come from the institutional world of building stuff. And yeah, I really been on this journey for Rich Dad Poor Dad. I'm sure like most of your listeners back in 2009. And I've been on this journey ever since. So nearly 10 years ago, and I wouldn't have thought in 10 years back when I moved here that I'd be sitting on a podcast talking to you about syndication. It's pretty freaking awesome ride, and I can't wait for the next 10 years. So yeah.
It really is, man. There's so much I love about your story. So I'd love to dive into different parts of it. Both have engineering backgrounds. You more so than me, because you were out there doing it, but you came to America and you didn't start doing multifamily deals. You said that 37, tell us a little, I've seen those first deals you did, and I was like, man, like those look just nasty. But so maybe tell the audience like a little bit more about that first or second deal to give a little inspiration that, you can go from doing those things like we did and move up the chain.
The big thing for me was I had to pick up the book Rich Dad Poor Dad in 9 and 10, was self-educating in Australia about everything I could about Australian real estate. had saved up a bit of money, was going to do some sort of maybe flip, but then ultimately moved to the United States, spent a bit of money moving halfway across the world as you do. But what I found was when I moved to the US and just how lucky some, you know, you guys are, the access to information here was just, it blew my mind. Like the real estate investment clubs that I met you at, and I remember being 2 weeks fresh off the boat at my first RIA event in New York City, 200 people. We were lucky to get 20 people, the local investment club in Australia. And so coming here and seeing that across every MSA across the country, I was like, wow, this is powerful information. And I knew that if I kept hanging around the right people, I would eventually do a deal. And again, so 2012, I've already been self-educating about 2.5 years at that point now. I'd built my own models. I built my own cash flow models. I understood, you know, the financing behind it. I understood the numbers of doing smaller deals, but I hadn't done a deal yet. And I was getting really to the end of my, to that ceiling of analysis paralysis. And I sort of said to myself, well, what are you going to go do? You need to get a deal done, because you're not going to learn it reading a book for the next 10 years. You got to have to go in bloody action. So I chose a market that I could afford. I, again, being fresh off the boat in 2012, no one was going to leave me. And I had to pay something all cash. And all the cash I had was about $40,000. And it wasn't only $40,000, it's a lot of money. But I was willing to risk that and say, hey, if I'm going to go do my own deal, I don't want to go get a mentor. I don't want to do that at this point. I just want to go do a deal myself, because I've been nose stuck in a book, reading all about it. I go out and just, you know, go on the deep end and learn from experience. And that's what I did. I picked a market that I could get to on a Greyhound bus. I remember leaving Penn Station Saturday morning. It'd take me 4 hours to get up to Syracuse. Have a couple of hours on the ground with the broker. He'd drive me around in his little car. He'd drop me at 2-3 o'clock. I'd get back on the bus, go back to New York City, and I'd be back in time to have a few drinks with the boys. That's what got me started. And then that deal number two, and that deal number three. And you don't get to deal number 10 without doing deal number one. For me, so many people stop because they're so worried about what's going to happen. And for me, it was my money. If I lose it, it'd be a pain in the ass if I lost it, but it wouldn't be the end of the world. But it'd be a good bloody lesson in life about, you know, how to get started, you know, dealing with contractors, dealing with property management companies, dealing with tenants. You know, that first deal, I had a drive-by shooting at that first deal. It was a section housing deal. It was going great for 6 months, but being fresh-faced, bushy-eyed Australian, I had no idea about Section 8 housing, but I learned, right? I didn't lose my shit. Made some money, and it was the best experience I could have done because it was my experience. And that's the most important thing, because I proved to myself that I could go out and that pushes my boundary, and that then ultimately leads to your next, okay, what's next? You know what I mean? So it was all about the power of that first deal. It's incredible. And I implore people who are out there listening to this show, do your first deal that you can afford so you can get out of the starting blocks.
I love it. So just to recap that, comes here from a different country, can't get a loan, has to pay all cash, Syracuse, New York, 4 hours away from where you were living, and makes it happen. Shooting, which I've dealt with some stuff like that, dirty stuff in the past. And Section 8, it still pulls it off. So I think that's phenomenal. Let's kind of skip ahead. So now let's talk about, what's the biggest deal you've done here, Reid, in recent history?
We just closed on a two-pack deal of just shy of $75
million. $75 million. So $37,000 to $75
million.
Yeah. Absolutely love it.
Assets under management today is about $450. We have about 3,000 doors. I'm the co-founder, as I mentioned earlier, of Wildhorn Capital and RSM Property Group. Both came out of just two guys wanting to build a syndication company and push the boundaries as we keep on going. And it's been a freaking hell of a ride, I can tell you that.
Yeah. So what I love is all the things that you just described, flying or driving to another market, touring with a broker, looking at deals, going through stuff, analyzing those deals. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're still doing that same stuff today, just on a bigger scale.
Exactly on a bigger scale. I live in LA. I've got to get on planes all the time to fly to different markets, fly to Texas, or I'm there once a week, once a month. But to get comfortable with a market, you've got to spend a bit of money. You know, you got to get in a car. You got to take action. I got on a Greyhound bus back in the day. That Greyhound bus now looks like it's a plane. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
you can do this. I could do this from the moon if I needed to. And it's just about taking the right action to go off and know a market. And the way I know markets is I underwrite deals, and I underwrite a ton of them. Like, I'm talking 50 deals in a market before I get to standard market. And it ain't sexy, but you got to do that hard work. And I still do that today. If I'm going to go look at a new market, the number one piece of advice is, let's get all the broker lists and let's literally underwrite every single deal that comes to market And it doesn't matter if I'm getting bid on it or not. It's just more for the data. What's it selling for? Cost per door. What's the expenses they got on it? What are they, you know, what are they charging for insurance in this market? What are they charging for taxes? All these little bits of information can be processed. Okay, well, this is the good side of the tracks. This is the wrong side of the tracks. And it's so important to have that desktop study. And you can do the beauty of it. You can do it from your home in New York, you know, the moon or Australia.
Well, if you're Jeff Bezos, you probably have a desk at the
moon. Yeah, right.
All right. So you mentioned your partner. Let's talk about how you met your partner and how you guys kind of split up relationships and our responsibilities. And I want to talk about what markets you guys are looking in right now.
Yeah, look, partnerships are super important, right? And in partnerships will change. I've had bad partnerships in the past before I got into syndications, and partnerships will evolve in the next 10, 15 years. And, you know, for me, when you get started, the big thing is when you're starting a business, you need, in real estate and particularly in syndication, it's a team sport and there's so many hats to wear. You need someone else who can be a complement to your, and for me, my business partner today he was a complementary skill set to me. He was boots on the ground. I didn't have that. I was looking at Dallas, small 50, 60 unit deals because I'd done some co-syndications and deals with my mentor back in the day there. So I knew the market fairly well. I didn't have was that broker relationship. And that's where when I'm getting started, you got to bring on partners because you can't afford to pay an employee, right? And partner's going to work just as hard as you are. And so it's really about the synergy of skill sets. You want to find a partner who can be a complement to you. You don't want to find a partner who's doing exactly the same bloody thing. Otherwise, the other half of the coin needs to be filled as well. And so for me, it was really important on that partner. And the advice that I give to anyone looking for a partner is understand what your skill sets are. What can you bring to the table? What's your superpower? And then what are you missing? Because that's where you're going to fall short. And it's how you plug those holes of the skill sets you're missing that's going to make or break your success or not. And again, partnerships will change over time. They evolve, and that's completely fine. It's the nature of business. But as you're starting out, partnerships can be very, very powerful with the right partner, right? I didn't meet Andrew one day. I'm like, oh, we're going to be partners tomorrow. It took a time of courting, you know, like going out on a date. It's like you got to court the person before you get into bed with them.
Yeah. I like it. Although social media these days and the apps, I didn't have those. Maybe you did, a little younger than me, Reed, but yeah, I don't even know if you have to do that anymore.
No.
I wholeheartedly agree. And I mean, even my wife is different, and it's great because we actually run more than one business together now, and we have totally different skill sets. We work with a coach to help analyze our personalities and strength finders and then divide responsibilities and figure out how to communicate. What are some of the tools that you and Andrew have used to figure out how to do those sorts of things and divide the responsibilities and who focuses on what?
Look, in the beginning, it was pulling from your personal background. I came from an engineering institutional background. I had been working for a big developer here in Los Angeles for over 4.5 years. So I brought the more of the systems mindset, right? Where Andrew brought more of the relationships with the brokers to the table. You need both. You can't just have one without the other. You're getting started because you need to prove to the brokers that they can award you the deal, right? Their reputation's on the line as well. So having that person interfacing with is really important. And having like someone like myself who's building the list, building the systems, doing all the back end stuff, making sure that I've worn every hat and my business, everything from CEO to capital raiser to legal reviewer, you know, to all the way through to being hiring and firing on. So I do everything, and so does Andrew, but you need to experience those different hats. Absolutely. To understand where your skills are, where you're going to grow in the future. Because I think that's also another thing that, look, I don't plan to be in operations forever, right? I want to fire myself eventually. You're starting out. It's important to go back to the skill set. Do you have someone that can fill those voids for you if you are missing them in your own repertoire?
Yeah, I love that. And it's so important. So as somebody that's, you know, that's now scaled to the point where you have a team, and what's some advice that you have for people that are going through this process? Because what you just said, I think is perfect, Reed. You know, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a business owner, if you understand every aspect of the business, I think it makes you better as a leader. So 100%. What's some advice do you have for people that are looking to scale, that are coming and building a team, and you know, they're entrepreneurs themselves?
I think, look, at the beginning, it's about being lean. You know, it's about doing those extra hours. You know, for me, I couldn't leave my day job until I had my green card. So I'd already done 4 deals before I got to the point where I could actually leave. I probably could have left earlier, but I wanted to have some security.
And when was that?
2018. So it wasn't that long ago, but I'd been doing deals. I'd done four deals on my own at that point when I left. And again, I can talk about the story about joining the developer because that was really, really critical in my growth. But back to what you're saying, Gail, it's about being lean in the beginning. It's that you don't have a lot of money. The reasons you bring on partners is because you can't afford to pay an employee and you need that other person to help. So having experience of every single facet of the business is super important to know that you what you're good at and what you want to outsource. And over time, we do actually do an exercise. I create an exercise that's really quite beneficial. It's like an XY graph and I can get into it. It's like what I enjoy and what gives, what moves, what I enjoy on the X-axis and what moves the needle from the business point of view. And there's all these different segments. I talk about black time, blue time, red time, and green time. You need to do it once a year and you're dividing out the things that you do and don't like about the business. So stuff that gives you full enjoyment and moves the needle is going to be in the black time, right?
Yeah.
Red time, high moves the needle, but you hate it, right?
Yeah.
Blue, so that's blue time. Red time, you hate doing it. It doesn't move your needle that, but it needs to be done like, accounting, stuff like that. And then there's a green time, which is like, may not necessarily move the business needle, but it moves the enjoyment factor like or working out or spending time with family. And analyzing that as I've gone on in my career and as I continue to go on helps make me sharper in who I want to hire, but also the skill sets that I want know that I can fire myself from. And maybe I'm not the best person to be doing this.
Yeah.
An example is pretty much since we started, I've been wearing a hat of a CFO I'm not a CPA, but I understand budgets and balance sheets and all that sort of stuff. Like, and I remember getting chewed out one time by an investor because something happened with our books and I didn't catch it, record it. And it was an example of like, we need to be better in this department. And we had a CPA, we had a bookkeeper, but they're all third party. We need someone in-house or sharing part-time with someone else. That could be the person that, the investor goes to rather than the founder and leader. Because I'm just not going to have a skill set in CPA like someone else who's gone through school to do it. But I was dangerous enough to, it's wrong and that needs to be changed. what I mean? So it's a little bit of a ramble, but it's more to do with...
I love that tool. That's super
cool. And it's more to do with being self-aware first and foremost, but also knowing that you need to roll up the sleeves and get it and figure it out. That's probably the first thing. But knowing when to get a bit scale to... learn to fire yourself and know that where your best ability is, what's your highest and best use. And it may not be certain tasks, but you may do those tasks to get to a point where you have the time and the space and the headspace to go, what do I need to outsource?
That's fantastic. I love that tool because I just read a book about a month ago called Idea to Execution. Mm-hmm. And the whole slogan is optimize, automate, then outsource. And everything you're describing is figuring out how to optimize it, how to make it work. Then can you systematize it? Use the word systems. Mm-hmm. That's what I've used in my book. It's what I kind of teach my coaching clients. But then can you outsource it once you figure out? Because if you're worth $1,000 an hour and you can pay somebody even $100 an hour, that's a tenfold return on your money,
Right.
So I think that's fantastic advice when it comes to that. I've read the book that you wrote with one of my partners here, Bryce Robertson, 10,000 Miles to the American Dream. Honestly say I've not read Investing in the US yet, Reed, but tell the audience a little bit more about why you wrote the books, what's inside of them, what to expect if they read them.
First book, Investing in the US, and if you're watching on YouTube, it's above on my right shoulder. It was really just morphing, taking my podcast, which is also called Investing in the US. I've been doing it for 6, going on 7 years now.
That's awesome. That's a great run.
This is a great run. And it's been something it's been a passion of mine, opens many doors. But it was really just taking the best content out of that and then putting it into another asset, which was a physical asset of a. And so being an author is really important because they talk about the best book you ever read is the one you wrote. And it helps you crystallize your system, knowledge, your value, what you're worth to other people. All these things help maintain a level of confidence, not only in yourself, but in someone like an investor who comes along and says, hey, well, he's written a book about investing here in the United States. Like he probably knows a little bit about it. And in the book, it's just really walking through the stages of my learning, talking about investing lingo here in the United States. I had to change my mindset around that, finding markets, building out your teams, understanding what syndication is, because I was blown away by syndication. Little things like 1031 exchange, that's foreign to me, being a foreigner. So any all the nuances that I went through and my learning curve is really just in page form. And I've also explained it on the podcast. So that was the more for the first book. The second book, 10,000 Miles to the American Dream, I've always had a bit of a knack to growing good, good mastermind groups. And back in the day, I'd interviewed a couple of Aussies on my show, and I said, "Hey, man, like, we're all Aussies here. Like, why, we're all across the ditch, you know, trying to make it happen. Why not? Let's mastermind." So we started mastermind, and then over a period of time, we were meeting up once a year with our partners and our wives and girlfriends, and that morphed into, well, we've all got stories here. Why don't we all write a chapter of a book? And we came up with a name. We went brainstorming the name, and what, the 10,000 Miles to the American Dream. And each chapter is written by one of the co-authors. There's seven of us, and each chapter is slightly different. You know, Bryce talks about Mopark investing. There's another guy talking about real estate technology and how he came out and formed a company in Silicon Valley about real estate. And you know, I talk about branding and my 6P. So there's just it's packed with a lot of information, but there's also another form, another digital asset we could create with not a lot of effort, because there were seven of us rather than, you know, writing that first book was it's not the easiest of tasks, but it's been a labor of love.
Yeah, that's awesome. So it's not 10,000 miles, but how did you said when you first came to America, you're in New York. How did you end up in LA?
The wife is from LA.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we talked about you last we spoke. We were talking a little bit more about your house. How's the new house out there?
It's good. We finally moved in. Yeah, we finally renovated. It was during COVID, but got in here and you got a piece of LA real estate that's not a forever home, but it's a good holder to launch into something else.
Yeah, no, I love it. So you mentioned a couple things I want the audience to kind of highlight. So you mentioned a mentor. So I just got off I was a guest on another podcast, and they said, "Hey, what advice do you have?" I said, "Find a mentor." So do you mind sharing a little bit more about that experience for the audience?
Yeah, this is going back to 2013. Getting to the point where I'd done two or three deals on my own, I was starting to get to a bit of a ceiling with what I was trying to achieve. And actually through a very strategic, it was through a conversation with a good friend of mine from Canada, come down from Canada to New York. He was visiting New York end of 2013. I'm boasting to him about these little seven units I had in upstate New York. And he goes on to tell me about how he just closed on 70 units. And I was like, 70, like 7-0. And he said, "Yeah, 70. I said, "Well, how the hell did you do that?" Talked about mentor. He talked about other people's money. He talked about seller carryback financing. And he was doing all the same things I was doing on my triplex, but at scale. There was a guy, I had no idea, he was an engineer like I am. I had no idea he was doing it. He just raised the bar, right? This is Scotty Reese. Great bloke, really good friend of mine. I was just blown, like, here's someone that I didn't even realize he was doing it, but now I'm now aspiring to be him. And so at a bit of a kismet moment, because I was thinking about getting a mentor at that stage, and I'd been putting it off for the longest period of time because I just didn't want to pay people money, right? I was pretty frugal with my money. And I ended up paying, you know, one of the, you know, I can probably mention his name on here, Joe Fairless. I paid Joe Fairless a very small sum of money. I think he was his second or third student, and he'd only done one deal. But the thing I loved about Joe was he was young like me, and he was doing stuff like what I wanted to do. And I just got started. He was my first ever mentor. I have a different mentor today. As you grow in business, you will create different mentors and different lives. But yeah, he was a start, and he wasn't the silver bullet. That's really the misconception that, "Oh, I'm going to get a mentor and he's going to be going to just chase to 1,000.
All my problems.
Yeah, solve all my problems. That is far from the truth. The thing about having a mentor is that you pay and you paying money. And you're betting on yourself. That is the act. That is the mindset that says, "I am worth taking this money and paying someone to be in my corp, to be a sounding board." Because that's all that Joe was. He was a great sounding board. He was an advice giver, but he wasn't doing any of the work for me. That's the power of having a mentor. It's that person in your corp, like the Kobe Bryants of the worlds, the Michael Jordans. They've got the talent, but they needed that coach to be a second set of eyes to say, "Hey, you're shooting a little bit wrong here," or any of that sort of stuff. So yeah.
No, it's terrific. And I mean, to this day, I have a coach. I have a different coach this year than I had last year. You know, same thing, as I've kind of grown in that aspect. And the other thing that I started doing was coaching myself. And I found that my coach gave me the confidence, because he's like, "Chris, being a coach is really just being a chapter ahead, or a couple chapters ahead in the book that you're focused on." I was like, "Wow, that's a really great way to put it." And I coach cyclists, but I never coached people for success, money, real estate, those sorts of things. So you have a program as well, Reed. What is that focused on? If somebody's listening and says, "Hey, like, this guy's got it figured out, what you do, how can people work with you, and what do you focus on?"
So I've got a program called Multifamily MBA. It's actually multifamily spelled out, MBA.com/apply.
And we'll have all these links in the show notes for everybody.
Yeah. It's ongoing. If we get a cohort of people, and I'm talking small cohort, four to six people, like, it's small. It's really for people who want to be, you know, aspire to be me or us. And I don't do it with my current business partner, Andrew. He's not interested in that, but I do it with someone else. And it's just a way of, like, I giving back first and foremost, but also helping do deals. Like I was able to help, raise money, but I was able to keep bill for a couple of my students, right? They couldn't have got into those deals without my help. I couldn't have got into my deals without my mentor's help. So it's sort of passing on the buck, and it's an opportunity to create, you know, new partnerships for life. So it has been very valuable, but we do it on sort of an as needed basis. We have a 6-day program and we teach people everything from, you know, all the ways that I run my business today, everything from the KPIs. I challenge my property managers to keep week in, week out. I do the underwriting, do deal finding, you know, everywhere through to building a brand and my 6P rule that I've created. So a lot of intellectual property, and yeah, we get one-on-one time with me as well. So again, it's not for everyone. It's probably for those people who want to be syndicators. It's not for the masses, but it is a very niche program that can help, you know, people become better, and you know, they want to aspire to be someone like myself.
I love it. And we're going to have that link in the show notes here for everybody. So you just said you're out in South Carolina checking out some deals. Reed, what markets are you focused on going here over the next year?
I think Central Texas is still where we're going to be focused. I think as we've seen deals really, really tighten, trying to enter new markets, just it's tough. But it's hard to be the fresh face on the block when you built out a team and you build out a reputation in a certain market. I still believe having tidbits, but having markers on other markets, seeing how other deals pencil out so you can compare yourself to what you're doing in your own market helps put you into perspective. Like I know guys who are underwriting deals in Phoenix and it's just crazy the numbers they're getting, you know, and in Tampa and Charlotte and in the Greenvilles of the world. Like it's just, it's crazy to see where we're at right now. And it's also good data to keep in the back of your mind as you make investment decisions moving forward in my own markets. So when you can see trends happening in other markets around the country, you can see the trends happening in my market. So Central Tech, San Antonio, Austin have been really where the portfolio is, where it's probably continued to grow. We probably will branch out eventually, but it's given how tight the markets are and the growth we're experiencing across these secondary markets like Austin that was completely blowing up. You kind of need to have that inch wide and a mile deep type of knowledge of a market to really know where the best deals are. I think gone are the days where you can fly in a plane and snap up a 6 cap or a 5 cap. Yeah, I don't think you can do that anymore.
Yeah, it's definitely more challenging. Man, I'd love having you on the show. I'd love catching up with you here. And we've covered a lot of stuff in a pretty short period of time. So we're going to capture all that in the show notes. But Reed, if people want to get your book, if they want to learn more about your investments that you have, or they want to learn about working with you, what is the best way to find it out?
Best way is head over to reedgoosens.com. That's reedgoosens.com. There's an invest with me button. There's books, there's podcasts, there's articles. You can go over there and check it out. And if anyone's coming through LA, you can hit me up at info@reedgoosens.com. Just give me a couple of weeks heads up and we can try and book a coffee or a beer and get on the schedule.
Reed's the man, guys. Certainly, if you've enjoyed what he's had to offer, check out his books, check out his programs, check out his website. Reed, your story is awesome. I absolutely love it. I'm so fortunate and grateful that you've offered it to our audience today. And before you go, one last question. So if you go back in time just a few years and give your 25-year-old self a piece of advice, what would it be?
It's the same piece of advice that I never always take is like, things are going to be okay.
Oh, that's a good one.
Things are going to be okay. It's going to work out just fine. And, you know, even to this day, you know, you still have those demons. You're like, oh, not demons, but like saboteurs saying, oh, what's going to happen in 10 years time? It's going to be okay. Yeah. It's going to be just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. We should do a little sound bite for you and you can put that on your phone and play it for yourself whenever you need.
Good idea. Very good idea.
Awesome, buddy. Well, thanks so much for being on the show. Reed, from our audience. Thanks.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, Chris here again. I hope you found this episode valuable. Now I have one more thing to gift you. We have a page for my coaching clients where you can get a free copy of my book, as well as much more from previous guests on the show. Just check out nextlevelincome.com/coaching to get a free copy of my book, audiobook, and much more. I'll send you a copy of my book and cover all the shipping costs as a thank you for listening to the podcast. Also, please like, share, and take just 90 seconds to give us a rating on Apple Podcasts.